1 Corinthians chapter 7. And how many of you remembered to write down all the verses that I asked you to that would kind of indicate Paul's really not for marriage as much as your spiritual growth? How many of you did that? How many of you wrote down those scriptures? How many of you went home and looked at those scriptures? Good. It's very confusing. These verses can be very confusing to us if we don't understand these verses through the mind of the Lord. It would kind of indicate that Paul's saying marriage really isn't really all that important as much as your spirituality. And nothing could be further from the truth, because marriage and spirituality dwell together quite well, thank you. Amen. Matter, thank God for the Spirit. Or the marriage, our marriage, Susan and I's marriage, would have been dissolved. Because we were living our marriage more out of our soul than we were our spirit. And yet people don't understand that marriage is a physical thing, but it has spiritual implications. The success of marriage is dependent upon the spirits of the parties involved. But the actual act of marriage is one flesh. One flesh. But yet, your spirit is involved. There is no such thing as spiritual marriages. Marrying our spirit to spirit. There is no such teaching. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. It says you've spiritually been purchased of God. Your life is not your own. It belongs to God spiritually. But your natural life, you have to make decisions for yourself in that area. Amen? And so when we get into 1 Corinthians 7, we're going to cover some verses that will kind of give a little clarity to these verses that I had you write down that seemingly would be saying that Paul's really not all that interested in marriages as much as you spending your time focused on him. And nothing could be further from the truth. Paul is giving us his discernment for marriages that are literally in division. And so let's go and look at some verses that are very important to look at first. These verses have been real confusing for the body of Christ. Let's go to verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's go to verse 9 and 10. And let's follow me real close here. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Verse 11. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Now I want you to notice that at verse 10, he makes a statement that it is a commandment of the Lord. And the commandment of the Lord is that if there's a division between both parties, male and female, let them remain unmarried or be reconciled to each other. I mean, that's obvious. Amen. And so what people have done is they've taken these verses and they made it law. Matter of fact, I heard one teaching when I went into shock that actually, after these two verses, 10 and 11, after Jesus gave his commandment over marital people, Paul missed it from that point on. He says, speak I, not the Lord. So Paul didn't have the mind of the Lord on anything else beyond that. I call that pretty much boldness, don't you? I mean, if he was one of the apostles that laid the foundation for us, and then we destroy the foundation that was laid, then how are we going to really understand what God's saying? I mean, if we uproot the very foundation that he as an apostle helped lay. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, some of you guys that build homes and stuff, how many of you realize that if the foundation wasn't laid, you wouldn't have anything to build off of, would you? True. I mean, how would you like to go and say, okay, we're going to build a house. Carl knows what I'm talking about. We're going to go build a house. But Carl, the only way that you can build this house is I don't want you to any longer rely upon the foundation of it. I want you to just build the house without the foundation. You know what Carl would do? He'd look at me and say, well, I can't help you. Wouldn't you say that car? I mean, where would you begin building on? You don't have anything to build off of. So you have to keep your foundation. So I got news for you. Even though Paul said through verse 10 and 11, he says that it is a commandment of the Lord, you got to realize that Paul then had to step outside of the issue of those that were not committed to God and give his understanding of what we call one committed and one not committed to the issues of a marriage. How many understand what I'm saying? Let's say that you got a male and female, and both of these are committed to God. So they run into some problems in their marital relationship to the point now they have to divide from each other, right? But you got both parties committed to God. Amen? Okay, and now their marriage came into a day of testing. How many of you know all marriages come into a day of testing? I don't care what marriage it is. Every one of them come to a day of testing. Every one of them. I didn't mean to give you that revelation, but write it down in case you've forgotten. Marriages do stand the time of tests. How many of you been married for a month? Anybody been married for a month? You've been married longer than that. Oh, how many of you have been, yeah, I understand what you're saying there, Jerry. It was me that need the clarification here. How many of you have been married only a month? Can I see your hands? Couple back there. Praise God. Guess what? I got some news for you. You've already discovered tests and trials, have you not? That's right, they have been married less than a month. Praise God. So you're going to have tests and trials in a marriage. That's just fact. Well, when he said verse 10 and verse 11, he said, it is a commandment of the Lord. He's saying that when you're connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, and both of those two are, I know them. They're connected to God. Then what Paul is saying is that when two parties, both parties, are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no out. You know what that means? It means God's going to counsel you back together. Period. You know, divisions of the devil. You know where it usually starts? You know where division usually starts? In somebody's mistakes. Did you know that? The mind of the devil begins to operate through somebody's chip. It always happens that way. Matthew 7. Judge not, lest you be judged. And what he's saying there is when you judge people to end a relationship, that's the wrong kind of judgment. But if you judge something so that you have an ongoing relationship or can continue on in the relationship, that's of God. How many of you know that? But did you know that when you see one chip, you'll see another one, and pretty soon your mind will be so full of chips it becomes a log. And the problem is the one that sees the chip that has the log is the one. The reason he's got that hundredfold return in his life is because he can see everybody else's mistakes but his own. I am going somewhere here with this. And so he's saying in verse 10 and verse 11, he's talking about a male and female that run into marital problems. And if it comes to the point where you're going to kill each other, separate. But how many of you know that if God created the universe and put the stellar system in its proper order and then created humanity, how many of you think that God would be a good man to counsel with on marital issues? Can I... But believe it or not, men's mentality, more Christians serve God out of the soul than they do the spirit. They do. It's getting clearer and clearer to me. All I have to do is listen to what comes out of somebody's mouth, and I can tell whether that's more spiritual or carnal. See, because carnality always breeds someone else's issues. And in a marital relationship, guess what, male and female? I got news for you. When your marriage begins to deteriorate, it's not because you're the deteriorator. You've always got your finger pointed at the other party. They're the problem, not you. Or else you'll end up vindicating yourself. Well, she just doesn't understand. Or he doesn't understand. Vice versa. And so when when we counsel on marital issues, we find that if both parties are more plugged in to the fires rather than how to put them out, then we're going to have problems bringing these two people back together. But if we know that both parties are committed to God, we have an easy day of mediating something because we know we can bring them back together. Why? Because both parties are submitted to God. And so we can use the mind of Christ to bring both parties back together. So there's hope in that. That's why Paul said, in those that are connected to God and they've had marital problems, and you will have, he says, don't initiate divorce with these people. Get them submitted to the mind of Christ and they'll come back together. That's basically what he's saying. He's not putting law on people. He's saying this will work if you let God counsel you. But he says now, the next verse, he says, after he said the one was the commandment of the Lord, he says this, he says, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried to be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord, but to the rest. Well, what in the world would he be talking about to the rest? What would be the rest? What would it be? It would be, I'll tell you what it means, to the rest. It means one who's submitted to God and one who isn't. That's the rest. Does that make more sense on these verses to you people? See, if you have both parties submitted to God, you got an easy mediation going here. Because all you have to do is put the Word of God out there on the line for them, and they'll respond to the Word of God. How many of you know that? They'll respond to the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God. Because whatever is submitted to God will work. I don't care what anybody says. If you're submitted to God, it'll work. I don't care what you run into. The Word of God and God Himself will cause you to succeed in life. Because greater is He that is within you than he that's in the world. But you got to remember, John also brought out this fact. He says you're an world overcomer predicated on the fact of God being able to birth revelation in your heart. That's what caused you to be a world overcomer. There are Christians who are not the world overcomers because they're dummers. They want to remain ignorant concerning spiritual issues. Paul said that we have the mind of Christ, not to the form of the Holy Ghost, but we have the mind of Christ. So we know that if both people are plugged into God, that marriage will work. Why? Because the Word of God and God Himself cannot fail. But when you get into a relationship where one's turned on to God and one's not turned on to God, you've got some mediation here that you've got to deal with in order to get both parties flowing with God so that it won't deteriorate, but it will. How many of you follow what I'm saying? So both parties have to be involved with God. But life doesn't present itself that way. How many of you have been married to somebody that you thought was spiritual and all of a sudden you found out you married the devil himself? Doesn't want nothing to do with church. Doesn't want nothing to do with God. Well, then what did they want with your life? Flesh. That's all they wanted. That's all they wanted. That's why Paul covered in the first seven verses, covered the issue of sexual driving, sexual desires. He's saying that if the sexual part of a relationship is foremost rather than the spiritual part, what'll happen is eventually that well will even dry up. Yep. And of course, the Corinthian church was very influenced because of the present distress was the immorality of the city. Mm-hmm. The men would go to the temple priestesses and the woman that never does really reveal to us according to history what they were supposed to do. But the men can go and go into these temples and relieve themselves and then go back and destroy their marriage and their relationship and everything else. Because they didn't have control of their sexual appetites. Matter of fact, Paul in his discernment, he says, if you follow my discernment, he says, your marriage is going to end up real good. Because if both of you will get plugged in spiritually, God can repair that thing. That's what he's actually saying in his communication to the Corinthian church. He says, but to the rest, speak I. Who's the rest? Well, you have a marriage where both parties are not involved with God. You got one that is and one that isn't. And the parties also that he refers to in here is those that have never been married, and also those who are looking to remarry because they've been divorced. And by the way, divorced people are not a curse from God. There are more Christians under condemnation because they've inherited a divorce. Nothing can be further from the truth. I'm going to tell you, the one who's always spiritual, the one who loves God and ends up in a divorce situation, they are not a divorcee at heart. It's the one that didn't follow God that is really the divorcee in the heart. Why? Because they have an adulterous heart. An adulterous heart is not the act of sex. An adulterous heart is the heart of a hireling. They want, they're more performance orientated in their mind than having to give of themselves in their thinking. Hirelings are not good givers. They're good takers, but they're not good givers. They're too self-centered. They only think of themselves. And my wife is right about me. I can thank God for her. She's always made the statement, that's just self-centeredness. Boy, I hate that pointing of the finger when they're right. Don't you guys hate that when the woman's right? But it's just flesh. You go to God and God points a whole bunch back at you. Now, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. And he says, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. You know, somebody asked me, so what does it mean by the children being unclean? Well, your children are born into this world spiritually dead. And the only hope that they have for salvation or redemption is how the parents raise them in the home. You see, some parents want to just leave their kids alone at home, bring them to church, and wants the church to straighten them all out. And yet they don't want to work with the kids at home. But I'm going to tell you something, every one of you, everyone knows that when you came through the DNA of Adam, you were born into this world spiritually dead. And these children have to be raised in a home to where they receive eternal life. They get born again. Are you following me? And go on into glory. Are you following me? And so when you got two parties in a home, and Paul says here, and you got one that's turned on to God and one that's not turned on to God, or one that's saved and one that's not saved, he said, if the home is sanctified in such a way that there's peace in the home for the sake of the children, he says, that is good ground to get your children focused in on the things of God so that they will commit themselves to God and there's no fighting and arguing going on in the home. And the sanctifying that he's talking about there is not the sanctifying to salvation. He's talking about the unbelieving party not really wanting the kingdom of God, but he's pleased to dwell with his children in church and his wife in church. He's just not interested if she's taking care of his physical needs and that's all he cares about. And the home will be sanctified. He won't bring his booze into the house. He won't bring his pornography into the home. Are you following? He won't bring the world into his home. He'll keep his home conducive for spiritual environment for the children and the one who believes. That's what he's saying. Well, what happens if the party wants to bring all the world into the home and influence the children? And here's what you need to do. Kick them out. Well, that's not God. Kick them out. Why? Well, Paul covered the issue before he even gets to this marital thing. He said, don't you know the first thing you have to do within a church confinement or setting is that when you have somebody in a position of authority or strength and they start violating the Word of God and they want their father's wife, he said, purge out that old lump and be a new leaven in God. Get rid of them. For the destruction of the flesh, so their soul will be saved. He covered that issue. That's why chapter 6 is so important of understanding 1 Corinthians. It talks about a marital situation that goes into a place of divorce. And the church can't do anything about it. The church can't do anything about it. Well, Paul said, dare any of you go before the unbeliever and get a divorce sanction without, first of all, bringing the church's wisdom and discernment into this thing to make it right. Don't you know that in the world to come, you're going to administrate angels? Well, if you can't discern between a male and female in the home situation while you're here, and the church cannot be the mediator of your marriage, and you're going to turn to the world, what's the world going to settle your issues? Is the world called to settle our issues? Is the world called to settle our issues? Well, who's called to settle our issues? Wouldn't it be the church under the guidance of the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost is not in divorce, people. But the Holy Ghost is very limited to whom He can reach, because the Holy Ghost has been given to our spiritual man, not our soul, not our marriage. It's been given to our inner man. And if he's out of control, the marriage will get out of control. You see it all the time in our church. People start out in the Lord, the zeal of the Lord. You see them moving with God. You see them getting involved in the church. You see them taking positions in the church. They're moving with God, and all of a sudden you see the devil just take them out. And they're saying, you know, they sacrifice their spiritual position with God for the sake of their natural position. And then you don't see them in church. And then they start developing nasty attitudes, become murmurers and complainers. It's just a process of the devil working in heart, because they're not committed to the Word of God. They're not committed to the fellowship of the Spirit. Jude said these people are dangerous. When they don't have fellowship of the Holy Ghost, they're very dangerous people. Because the devil can touch their mind anytime he pleases. It's about time we quit being controlled by what his thinking is. And the devil was controlling my mind over my wife. I had to put a stop to it. Well, I couldn't do it within myself. I had to have God show me. You're the jerk, not her. You follow what I'm saying? And so he gives instructions. Then he throws in there some instructions about what marriage involves. What marriage involves. How many of you know that when you get married, you have marital responsibilities? Such as working for a living.
Well, the Holy Ghost told me quit working and just walk in faith.
That's not faith. My Bible teaches me the labor of my hands is blessed. Get a job.
Amen.
Now look, yes, right, you don't work, you don't eat. Now look at this. Verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 7, I want to cover some issues. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. My gosh, what a killer verse. I had this quoted to me from a brother that told me that he made a decision to give his whole life over to God and get rid of his wife. And he said, God used that verse for him. I said, and he asked me about it. He said, what do you think of that? How are you going to define that? That's what he told me. How are you going to define that? I said, very simply, but first of all, I have to deal with one issue. What's that? You got a sick brain. My God would not tell somebody to go get a divorce so they could just seek. He says it's all through this chapter. Chapter 7. He did. He said it was all through there. And you know what verses he quoted? The ones I had you write down and look up. It would indicate Paul saying, hey, stay out of a marriage if you're in one, stick. But nevertheless, stay out so you can give your whole attention on God. And that's not what he's teaching here. He's teaching how to have a successful marriage when you got one party that's in God and another one that's not. Or if they're a virgin and they have the opportunity to go on into the things of God. And if you can contrain your sexual appetites and hold off, he says you can also assist the Lord in getting her to set in her heart the priority of the kingdom of God first at work within her heart. And God will give that woman back to you in body and spirit. That's a good marriage. I've seen women so vulnerable. I've seen them single for years in our church. And finally hook up with some spiritual dud. Remember the 10 reasons that I told? They have a movie out now. I've seen it on the billboards. It says, how to lose a man in 10 days. And I gave you those 10. How to get rid of a spiritual dud through 10 reasons. Remember I gave you that list? We need to start waking up, because I've seen beautiful men and women so turned on to God in our church. And Christ was there all along. And then bring somebody into our church going to shock treatment because they don't know where we're coming from. And talk the male or the female out of our church setting. Well, that's just the devil. Why? Because he knows that the further you get into God, the more secure your life is going to be. Flesh does not like spiritual issues. Why? They don't cohabit too well together. And what Paul's saying here is he says in verse 28, "But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains bold that they that have wives be as though they had none." You know what he's talking about there? He's not talking about man abandon the whole issue of marriage and everything else, including your family, and go and just press into God. That's not what he's talking about. He says, notice this, "But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned." I asked the guy what that meant. What would it mean, thou hast not sinned? What he's talking about there is if you are continually in the state of burning, you have a sexual drive in you, and you have found somebody you want to have a relationship with in that area, even if you're out of season, if the sexual drive is the one promoting the marriage, he's saying, even if you make a decision to marry rather than to burn, he says, that's okay. You haven't transgressed against God. God understands your physical needs. Hello? And so that's okay. It's cool. But because he's given us his written discernment, he tells us what to do from that point on. He says, because if you don't follow what I'm telling you, he says, your marriage will go through hell. You know what a hell on wheels marriage is based on? One party spiritual and the other one not spiritual. That's a marriage on hell on wheels. Why? Because Satan's number one goal is to get the one who doesn't want anything to do with the kingdom on after the one that does. That's what he wants. He wants more than that. Anything else. You know, Satan cannot exploit our strengths. How many of you know that? Satan cannot exploit my strengths. When I live out of my spirit, he's got a problem. When I live out of my flesh, he doesn't have a problem at all. Why, he can plant anything in your thinking he wants to. Our souls is one of the greatest, it's one of the greatest freedom God's given us, but it's our worst enemy until we get it delivered. The first sign of a marriage deteriorating in people's lives are the murmurers and the complainers. Well, in any relationship, people that have to murmur and complain about issues of life. The nation of Israel, in their day of testing, what did they do? They ran to Moses and Aaron and murmured and complained. That was one of the issues that they did. 2 Corinthians 10, 9 and 10, somewhere in there. I think you'll find them verses. I could be wrong. But God couldn't do much with the murmurers and complainers. Jude brought them up. Why? Because they see negatively all the time. That's the first sign that you're seeing the kingdom out of your soul rather than your spirit. Because you've got faith in your spirit. Did you know your spirit only sees one way, success in God? You know, when you even look through the eyes of your spirit to somebody else who has problems in their life, did you know that your love, God's love working in your heart, will see them even succeeding in spite of where they're making mistakes? Because God is a succeeding God. Failure is not part of his life. Some of the things you might not like to see in people's life, you got to let go. You just got to flat let them go. Why? Because you can't change people. And if you can't change them, all you can do is gripe about them. I almost use a B word there. That would have been my flesh. That's all you can do is just bleep, 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 and bleep. Rather than saying the word, I bleeped it. That's all you can do. You want to know why? Because that's all you can see is somebody else's faults. And in a marriage, that's the day of testing when it comes. That's all you can do. Well, if you're spiritual and you get along with God, God does not use their faults to vindicate you. He deals with your faults to help them succeed. Boy, I almost want to go into what God showed me about our church when I was up there in these meetings. I was in his presence so much, it was incredible. But this I say, brethren, verse 29, the time is short. You know what he's talking about? The shortness of natural marital life. He's not talking about the soon return of Jesus. He's talking about your natural life, how short it is in a marital situation. Did you know that every one of you have been called charismatically into the kingdom of God when you got saved? Everyone has a calling of God in their life. every joint supplies. There is no exception. And Paul said, if you follow my discernment, you can be a joint that supplies, not to dislocate.
Right.
Are you following what I'm saying? Now notice this. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Oh my gosh, where are you coming from? Here's what he's saying. He's saying he's about ready to tell you the different backgrounds which every marriage faces. Every marriage faces. And if you will follow the understanding of what we're about ready to go into next, Paul then will be able to lay hold of his discernment and feed it to us very clearly. Here goes. Are you guys getting something so far? Here goes. That they that have wives be as though they had none, meaning that you're to give yourself to God and not predicated on the wife. He's about ready to go in and tell you some very interesting things about a marital relationship that might even be need healing if it needs healing, but also he gives us his discernment for a marriage that might not have a healing but can become distracted from your spiritual life. So he's plugging in the necessity of good spiritual growth. Here it is. And they that weep as though they wept not, meaning a bad marriage, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, it means a good marriage, and they that buy as though they possess not, the word they possess not is referring to a wealthy marriage, in other words, a marriage that has money, in other words, has plenty of money, and they that use this world as not abusing it, those that have to work for a living. Those that have to work for a living. Some people are not all wealthy. How many of you here are all wealthy? I'm talking about natural, from the natural. None of us are all millionaires. But he's talking about the things that will cause a distraction to the kingdom of God in marital relationships and responsibilities if you don't keep these in check. They've got to kept in check. They've got to be kept in check. Because they'll rob you of spirituality. So he's saying that if you have a bad marriage, it can rob you of spiritual growth. If you have a good marriage, it can divert you from spiritual growth. Why? You got everything now. You don't need God no more. We've seen marriages like that go right out the door. Well, what church are they going to now? Well, they're just not attending church. They don't feel it's necessary. Here's another one. And they that buy as though they possess not a wealthy marriage. Money can really distract you from spiritual growth. And they that use this world as not abusing it. Listen, when you labor for the kingdom of God, you can become workaholics and you can be snatched out of the kingdom of God and its responsibility spiritually just through a job. God told me that the number one abuser of spirituality today is jobs. And that Satan has his hand on that. Notice this, for the fashion of this world pass away. So he covers the issue of labor that is required for a marriage. And he says the fashion of this world passes away. That's those that work for a living. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. So what Paul is saying in his discernment here, he says, don't you know that I understand all these positions that we get into? Whether you're married or you're planning on remarrying or whether you're a virgin, whatever it is. He says, I got news for you. If you have a bad marriage or a good marriage, you're wealthy or you have to work for a living. He says, you got to keep your focus on God. You got to keep your spiritual growth going. That is your saves your life. He says that if you can't do that, you're going to have a marriage that's got problems. That's why people in the church cannot sustain a relationship a lot of times, because you got one that's spiritual versus one that's carnal. And none of us work perfectly. I don't work perfectly, people. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. But gosh, we don't take a division because of it. Why? Because I know my responsibility. Okay, so I got a bummer marriage. What do I do about it? Oh, sit and complain about it. Sit there and go and say, I, me, my, this, that. Go ahead. It'll get worse. Don't worry about it. What about a good marriage? I don't really need God. I got everything. Your marriage will come to naught. Why? Because if he can't get you a divorce, he'll take one of your lives. That's a killing zone. There ain't no such thing as safety in this world, in case you haven't got that revelation yet. Jesus said himself, they that be of your own household be your own worst enemy. What, can anything good come out of Nazareth? My gosh, even those that knew Jesus had a problem with him. I ain't going to receive from him. He's a carpenter's son. He sent me a bill that was outrageous. I don't want nothing to do with that jerk. I guarantee you they found problems with Jesus. Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes did. Jesus is perfect. He was still complained about. Murmurs and complainers don't get nowhere. Especially in a marital relationship. You won't get anywhere murmuring and complaining about your mate. Unless there's some way we can get a seal of approval from God. By when we pick a mate, all of a sudden we get this gold approval emblem form on their forehead that will remain forever approved for marriage. And then we go hook right into it. It'll work. Why? Because you should have one on your forehead. Shut up, Jan. Look at verse 34. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. And the unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, you think Paul wasn't concerned about a male and female being pleased in a relationship? Well, when you read that with a natural mind, you think, boy, Paul, you're really telling us how to stay separated. But all as he was saying here, people, is he's talking through his discernment. His discernment. His discernment spirituality. Now look at this. He says, how she may please her husband. Do you know, women, that God wants a good marriage and he wants the woman to please her husband? Did you know my wife cannot please me if everything's from her natural viewpoint? I need her spirituality as well. And she gives that to me quite clearly. We're not praying today? It's none of your business. No, you're not praying today, I can see. Why? It was my reaction. It's none of your business. Or I should have answered, praise God, Sue, you bet I'm praying today. Wouldn't have been offense to me. But whenever a person takes offense, it's because there's something going off in their heart, not the one asking them to. We're not praying today, are we? It's none of your business. Sue says, yep, you're not praying today. She knows me. So we're not talking to God lately. Ooh, I just want to just... Well, it's not up to you what I do. I know. She doesn't have to say much to put condemnation on me. Why? Because I put it on myself. Why? I'm the issue, not her. Notice this. And this I speak for your own profit. That which will bless a marriage, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but that which is graceful, that you may attend upon the Lord without distractions, without being distracted. But if any man think that he be saved himself uncomely towards his virgin, and if she pass the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, but let them marry. And what he's talking about is if you got a guy that's a spouse to a woman, especially a virgin, and he cannot contain himself, he's burning on the inside for a sexual relationship with this woman, he says, go ahead and marry her then. You haven't sinned against God. But he was saying, if you follow my discernment, even though you marry her out of season, out of timing, and that's the problem with a lot of Christian marriages, why they're failing, is because they're more fleshly orientated than they are spiritually discerned. And so as a result of that, they get out of timing with God. Well, God says, you haven't even sinned if you get out of timing. If you got to go ahead and marry because you're burning, go ahead and do it. You haven't sinned. But follow my advice here. Stay connected to God spiritually. Now notice this. When he says, behaveth himself uncomely, it means that he got into a point where he wanted to go a little further than kissing. Let your imagination do the rest. Nevertheless, verse 37, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having of no necessity, meaning he's not going to let his sexual desires drive him, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart, that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. What is he saying? Keep his virgin. He was literally saying, if you know that if you can help promote her life before the Lord by refraining from marrying her through sexual appetites, if you can refrain, what you're doing is you're also encouraging her to put the Lord first before your own desires. Are you following me? Your own fleshy desires. So what you're doing is you're helping, assisting the Lord for her to get committed to God. Why? Because Paul says that God will give you that woman back, not only in body, but in spirit. And that's the kind of marriage that's going to end up facing the storms of life that will succeed. Are you following me? When people get unplugged from the Lord, anything can happen. You know, when Jude said, they having not the spirit, when he said they were already spiritually dead, they died again spiritually. And then having not the Lord, a few verses down, he was talking about these men broke fellowship with the Holy Ghost on a daily basis. Today, if you will hear the Holy Spirit when he speaks, and harden not your heart. Well, if you don't have fellowship with the Holy Ghost on a daily basis, I guarantee you, you got a hard heart somewhere. I guarantee you. And how your hard heart will come out is through somebody else's mistake. It'll come out of your mouth. Well, God showed me that with my own church, my own body. I go to complain to somebody about my own church or my own body or all my own members. And God said, I'm fed up with you talking about your leaders and your church that way. Keep that from coming out of your mouth, you hard-hearted thing, you. I said, give me the soft heart again, God. Give me the soft heart. You're not Mr. Perfect. None of us are. And until you think you have arrived, get up from your seat right now. Go outside. We got plenty of rocks out there, and bring one in and throw it at me. Go get a rock. If you think you've arrived. Well, here I am, pastor, trying to be spiritual to you guys, and I'm throwing rocks at you all over. So catch that one, you little. Oh, you little jerk. Boom. God don't do things that way. Matter of fact, God gives you over to your enemies in such a way they turn around like you. That's the mind of God. Now look at this. Verse 38. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. See, I told you, Paul doesn't want. No, he's talking about holding off, restraining himself with the one he's espoused to, whether she's a virgin, whether she's been married and divorced, whatever. If he holds off, he'll tell you what's going to happen next. Notice this. The wife. Verse 39, Paul says, don't you know the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth? But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to marry whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, discernment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. And here's what he's saying. He says, don't you know that when you get married, and you do not discern what I'm saying after my judgment, and you don't marry somebody in the Lord so that I can soften your heart towards your mate, and your mate's heart will become softened towards you. He says, don't you know that you're going to have a bunch of tribulation going along here, because flesh will always fight spirit. That's the most unhappy home I know. Flesh against spirit. Are you following me? You got this conflict going. And Paul says, don't you know that if that's the kind of marriage you want, don't you know then you're bound to law in that kind of marriage? Who wants to be married by law? Who wants to be married by law?
If somebody puts you under law, they'll treat you as under law. You make one mistake, and that adulterous hireling heart will come on your case big time. Yep.
Are you getting something? You know why I want to be married to my wife? Because I love her with my whole heart. Why? God put it there. My soul didn't know any better. My soul's crazy when it's not governed by God. It's lunatic. It's insanity. That's why God said to the children in Israel, you flesh-abiding, untrust, unbelieving bunch, you complain from day to day what I'm going to do next. Get out of my sight. He took them out. And he only stuck with that nation because there was a remnant that he loved. Here you get through all the plagues of Egypt. You walk through the Red Sea. You get out in the desert and you turn around saying, would to God we were back in Egypt. At least we had food. Roof over our head. What are you going to do to us now, God? Murmurs and complaints. They're listed right along with the fornicators and the adulterers. God has no use for faithless people. I know with my spirit, the born-again man, if I had a chance to go back to that time period, I wouldn't have one bit of problem. I'd have probably laid out and right out in the sand with the sun beating down and said, God, where's the water going to come from? After what I've seen you do to Pharaoh in the Red Sea and the cloud above us, I got my mouth open, God. I'm looking for the water to come from any place. Why? I trust you, God. Why? I've been born from above. I have the heart of Christ in me. I trust Him. Amen. In any situation I get into. Hey, God, are you going to bring the water out of the sand? You going to turn the sand into water? Well, maybe water will come out of this rock. Sleep. Get a fire hydrant of water coming out. And then I wiped myself off. Said, I knew it. Where's the next miracle going to come from? And every one of you in here, you know God enough to know you'd do the same thing. You wouldn't abide with these ungrateful, unthankful bunch of people. But here's the problem. Many Christians are still doing that today. Oh my gosh. My wife did it this time. Oh no. How am I going to deal with this one? Oh, God, I know that you parted the Red Sea for me and my wife. I know that you delivered us from the devil. I know it, but she really come up with a boner this time. Now how am I going to get out of this one, God? I know how. Get rid of her. Did you guys get something here today? When I was meditating on this, I said, God, I hope they get this. I hope they put it out. And he says, I just love to hear my word. You know, God's crying out to hear his word. There's a lot of squirrely doctrines out there. I don't know whether you guys realize or not. There's a lot of whack doctrine out there. If you stick close to the word of God, you'll be all right. You interpret everything in the light of the mind of Christ, you'll be all right. There's a lot of, well, when you have whack people, you got whack marriages. When you have whack people, you got whack doctrine. Everything begins to break down. You know, I don't know a man more committed to God than this guy right here. My John Duclos. When I was up at Dave's meetings and talking to Zach, what a fireball. He was just instrumental in getting one of his friends baptized in the Holy Ghost. And Zach's just flipping out in the house and can't contain himself. And they're all jumping around. And those kids are on fire for God. Well, it shows you something about the parents. Zach's just starting just like to act like you, John Duclos. Well, that's what the Spirit tells us. Don't you know anything else other than the Spirit of God? Did you get something here today? Boy, I hope you did. Because I'll tell you what, God's for marriages. God's just, he hates divided marriages. He hates anyone after the spirit and the other one after the flesh. It says when you have flesh and spirit, there's animosity. There's a fight going on all the time. So you can't do the things that you want to do. It's over in Galatians 4. It says the spirit desires against the flesh, flesh against the spirit, so you cannot do the things you want. Well, in a marriage, when you have both of them going in the way of the spirit, you can do the things that you want to do in God. I got news for you. If you abuse your spirituality over that which is natural, don't go to God and tell him you're doing him any favors for the kingdom of God. He's not interested at the expense of your spirituality. He's not interested. Everybody, stand up. Thank you, Jesus. I hope I didn't preach over a bunch of people's head here today. It's the only way those scriptures can mean the way that they mean it. Amen. God isn't going to give you scriptures on how to stay unmarried. Best thing that ever happened to Brian is this one right here. Amen. Amen. Vice versa. Amen. Praise God. But you look at these two and you know they're steady. Steady as a rock. Now, they don't have any trials or tribulations. They don't have any fights. That poker mark in his forehead that one day didn't... That wasn't from his wife. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Some marriages are so obvious that you see the husband walk in with heel marks all over his face. And his wife's got your tennis shoe marks on her chin. I think they've got marital problems. Well, one thing about marital problems, if you want them to cease, submit to God. Submit to spirituality. Double up in your time with God. They'll work out. But what do? Usually bad marriages run from the church. They don't run to the church, they run from the church. And they dictate to everybody else, including us, of how they view everything. And that's not true at all. If you view it from God's viewpoint, it'll work. Well, that's why he said in chapter 6, marriages that start to go on a rock. In this case, he says, why not allow yourselves to be defrauded? What happened was the women wanted to initiate the divorce on sexual issues more than the man. And some of you women, you need to take some advice from Paul. If your husband is not being fulfilled sexually, you need to deal with yourself before the Lord to assist him. The devil's out there walking around seeking whom he can devour. Of course, the devil's a crazy madman anyway. Be supportive of your husbands in that area. Husbands, be supportive of your wife in that area. It's a two-way street. You won't be running off looking for other avenues. I know you guys got something here today. I know it. I can sense it in my spirit. Uh-oh, what's that I hear? That's it. I'm leaving this church. No, stay. We want to purge you further. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the understanding that you give us of Scriptures concerning your heart and marital things. Father, Jesus is over our house, which is our spirit. And Father, we're not going to harden our hearts in the day that the Holy Ghost speaks. We're going to listen. We're going to remove that hardness in our life towards each other. We're going to have the best marriages we've ever had. And Father, we're going to rely and trust and count on you of helping us succeed spiritually and physically. Father, you love marriage. Father, you said it's the greatest institute that you've ever initiated, and you were full of joy when you brought Eve to Adam. I know you was, Father. See, there, in my spirit, I already feel that some of you are already planning on taking a division. I don't know where that division is, whether it's marriage or relationships or whatever it is, or fellowship you have with people. Division is wrong. You let God work it out in your heart. Dividing yourself from people is not the answer. You don't leave your enemy because they persecute you. You pray for them that even despitefully use you. I hate the mind of the devil. Oh, shit. Oh.